Let's go. Will Campbell tells it like it is. And look, it is so important to recognize with this struggling LSU offensive line that there is one hope as we go into Vanderbilt and requires an open mind. Plus, a lot of you have asked me about Kylan Jackson and a couple of other young LSU defensive backs. Do they or should they have a chance to play? We'll talk all about that coming up, baby. Let's go.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter.
Let's freaking go. So, for me, it is so important that we keep in mind how difficult it is to play Power 4 football at any level. So, I want you to hear this from the man himself.
Frazier goes down, so you got three young guys right in the middle, but Emory on one side, you on the other, the veterans. How have you guys kind of helped pick those guys up as far as like in-game action?
Because we've been in their shoes. Most, you know, everybody – you know, sees me play or whatever and all of that. But if you ever got the time, go back and watch my first play of college football. I got my face ran through, punished, and that's just what it is. I mean, to be thrown in the fire like this against good teams, these dudes are trying to get paid. And all they got to do is get to the quarterback. One thing we live by in the O-line room, a D-lineman get one sack a game, and that's the only thing he can do. 12 games, he'll be a top five pick. You give up one sack a game for 12 games, you're going to work at Amazon. Nothing wrong with that. But whenever we're here, this is what we're striving for. Like, I mean, everybody in this building wants to play on Sundays. So that's how it is. But it's only going to make them better. They're growing each week. You can see it. They're learning, you know, not just, you know, physically what it takes, but mentally. The game has slowed down so much for DJ and Paul is, and it's starting, you can see it is starting to slow down for him, because whenever you're playing these good SEC teams, you know, eventually you'll start to get the rhythm of it. And I think that's just thing. He's going to be a great player. He's tough as nails. He fights. He's going to scratch and claw. And that's the thing. That's all you can ask for at the end of the day. Whenever you get knocked down, just get up. And that's what he does. And, you know, he's a hard worker, and I couldn't be more proud of him, because, you know, he's came so far since he's been here, and he's only going to keep growing.
All right. I always want to run through a brick wall when I hear Will Campbell speak. You see the thumbnail image. You see the best offensive lineman ever at LSU. Obviously, this third year is going to sour for a lot of LSU fans, not only for some of his individual penalties, but just the overall play and disappointment of the offensive line in this season. But at his absolute peak, Will Campbell is the best LSU offensive lineman I've ever seen. Now, there are plenty that would say Andrew Whitworth, Saron Black. Obviously, I will say modern era, because pre-2000, Kevin Mwai and Alan Faneca definitely clear pretty much everyone. But Will Campbell's about to break a streak. No LSU offensive lineman selected in the first round since 1998, which it was Alan Faneca as he went into the Hall of Fame, if Will Campbell goes to the NFL draft. And if he's selected in the first round, I don't think it's necessarily a slam dunk like it once was, but I do think he will still go first round. And I think his struggles have been a little overblown. Yes, some of the penalties have been backbreakers, but I will say I think Will Campbell overall has been good this season. And today he was announced as a finalist for the Nagurski, who goes to the best lineman, one of four finalists. So congrats to Will Campbell. Okay. Now, about this offensive line, I was very happy to see Will Campbell defend Paul Mbenga and DJ Chester. That's why it is very uncomfortable for me to go in front of over 12,000 subscribers and say and bring up how much we have struggled up the middle of the LSU offensive line. I do want to include one big thing that Will Campbell did not include in his press conference, which is everything gets easier for an offensive line when you are playing at home. It just does. Perfect example. Let's take the team that everybody expects to have the best shot to win the Natty in the SEC, which is Georgia. Everyone expects that. I think it's Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is the best team in the country. But Georgia, everyone thinks they are the best when it comes to winning it all this season because, you know, they're the big brand and they are a very good team and they are the most battle-tested team. And out of anyone in college football, nobody has better wins than the Georgia Bulldogs this season. And nobody has played a tougher schedule. But what no one mentioned at all was in two consecutive weeks, the Georgia offensive line was night and day. They were atrocious on the road versus Ole Miss's defensive front, which I think is the best in the SEC. But they were lights out versus Tennessee at home in Sanford Stadium. Now, Tennessee's defensive line, to me, isn't as good as Georgia's, or excuse me, as Ole Miss's, but they're still really good. They are still really freaking good, and I'm very glad that we did not play Tennessee this year because that would have been a really poor matchup for us. Tennessee's defensive line did nothing. Georgia's struggling offensive line shut them out. What is the one thing that changed? The environment. It is so much easier to play offensive line at home than on the road. So while this offensive line is not playing well, we are trending in the right direction for Garrett Dellinger, and this group will be back under the friendly confines of Tiger Stadium. Now, I know a lot of you would bring up, well, what about the Alabama game? And the LSU offensive line had their moments versus Alabama that were rough, but they weren't the biggest issue regarding this offense this past weekend. They were not. They were not. Okay, or when they played a few weeks ago. So I think this LSU offensive line has a chance to bounce back versus Vanderbilt, whose defensive line, of course, is solid. It's not as good as what they have played recently, and they will be back home. So I am looking forward to what they are going to do versus Vanderbilt this weekend. Now, we say hi to Michael, Blake, Samuel, Rob, and Wilk. Wanting to turn the page to next season already. Not going to do it here. At least not in the beginning portions. I want to celebrate the fact that we have two more games left. And while we are not in the playoff picture, and it does suck that we're not in the playoff picture. Oh, come on, Simper. That's loser behavior. Pulling for Vandy. Why are you pulling for Vandy? You must really hate Brian Kelly if you're pulling for Vandy. We must focus in on this game. Okay? I know we want to turn the page to next year. Trust me, if anyone wants to, it's me. But we're not going to do that here. We're going to celebrate the fact that we have two more games in Tiger Stadium. Not in the context we want it to be, especially coming off a game that we had versus Florida. I'm looking forward to it on Saturday. Okay? Now, next thing. A lot of us want a youth movement at defensive back. A lot of us do. And I totally understand it, especially with Sage Ryan playing the way that he played this last game. I will say Pro Football Focus disagreed with my overall assessment of Sage Ryan versus Florida, but that's why I don't swear up and down by PFF. I am a big fan of theirs, and I do use their services. Okay. What I will tell you, though, and I do think this is important for every single person watching this, one minor story is Major Burns played the fewest snaps that he basically has played all season. He only played 19 snaps of the 45 available snaps. We played a lot of Devon Keys. So we did the youth movement thing. All right. And Major Burns' snaps probably would have been even lower if Sage Ryan was available in the first quarter of this game. We did the youth movement thing. We put Devon Keys on the field, even though I prefer Xavier Debo Atkins. We did. It didn't work. It didn't work. Keys had a tough, tough, tough game. Nothing against him. He's a true freshman, and that's why I'm not totally mad by it at all. And you take a look at a lot of the players who really struggled on defense. Ashton Stamps, year two corner. Number 11, PJ Woodland, year one corner. They were cooked versus Florida. They were cooked. So, yes, I understand youth movement. Let's see what we have. What do we have to lose at this point? I will tell you, though, the young guys who have played defensively, it's been rough. Now, one thing I would like to include is I never understood why we didn't try Juwan Johnson at DB. I understand you had the hurdle because of the jersey number thing, because he wears number 8 and Major Burns wears number 8. But I think I would like to see him at DB. I'm a Michael Turner believer, but he's super tiny. But I do think he's very fast, and I do think his ball skills are pretty good. But probably the results are going to be the same. Where I struggle is they're not trying Jair Brown anymore, who played a lot early in the season. I say a lot. Played some early in the season. They're not even trying J.K. Johnson at this point. I think, especially considering how poorly some of LSU's players are playing in the first couple of units, I think it says a lot more about so many of LSU's backups that they don't even try them. Like, they're not even thinking about some of these older guys that are year two, year three, year four that had 3, 4, and 5-star rating pedigree. So what I would do if I were LSU, as we move forward, and every player on the team will make $200,000 or whatever it's going to be with the revenue sharing, it's going to be very important that you find defensive backs that have actually played. Guys that have actual good Division I Power 4 film. Now, we say out of Tyler, and we say out of Samuel. He says, Carter, be honest. If LSU obliterates Vanderbilt, will it change any opinions? Well, I think if they obliterate Vanderbilt, it will actually make LSU fans angrier than if we get blown out by Vanderbilt. Because you're going to be like, well, goodness gracious, where was this all season? This team beat Alabama, and this team almost beat Texas. We almost obliterate them. But, you know, Vanderbilt might just be running out of gas. You know, they were blown out by South Carolina. One advantage Vanderbilt does have going into this game is that they are coming off a bye week. Now, is that really an advantage? We've seen some this season, where the bye week has been the game where teams have really struggled coming out of the gate. We have seen a lot of teams play their absolute worst football out of the bye week. Now, before we get back into LSU, I want to be perfectly solid in my analysis. Okay. Now, I have always been of the belief that it is perfectly fine for you to change your opinion on any one subject, in anything. Okay. Now, I think flip-flopping could be convenient for some people, in particular politicians, and but some consistency in opinions do matter. But it's okay for your opinion to change over time. A lot of you were probably 14 playoff people, and now you're a believer in the 12-team playoff. Whatever the case may be, this is going to be, the next couple of weeks, a pretty big wake-up call for a lot of SEC football fans. And it does matter, because if you're an LSU fan, this is how it's going to be moving forward. The team that everyone is focusing on right now is Indiana. A lot of you have messaged me, hey, what do we have to do to get Kurt Cignetti? A lot of you have messaged me, what do we have to do to take care of the portal like Indiana did and bring in some good players? What do we have to do to be like Ole Miss and bring in good players? But the reason I'm bringing this up is we, moving forward, if Brian Kelly becomes an actual good coach, knowing LSU's talent and history, we should be in playoff discussions. I wanted to be crystal clear, though, that I don't think it's good for the college football playoff for massive SEC bias. And I don't mean SEC bias in a way of you believing that Tennessee should be in over Indiana. I'm saying perceived SEC bias in terms of an SEC team should automatically be in over a Big Ten team if their resumes are somewhat equal, because SEC teams play far stronger FPI schedules and there's far more NFL players. All that stuff can be true. But I shoehorned this into last night's live stream at the end, but I want to be so upfront here. I don't think a conference should have more than five teams in the playoff. And I'm sick, and I've seen LSU fans talk about this. I've seen people that are followers of the channel, diehard superfans, bring up, well, you know, Indiana's not really played anyone. Yeah. When you have these super conferences where you're 16 deep, some schedules like Indiana's and Texas's are going to be easier than other schedules in the conference. And who you play in the non-conference can drastically shift things for you as well. But part of playing the games is who you play on your schedule. And part of being in the SEC is recognizing the challenge of playing an SEC schedule. So, moving forward, when LSU is in a similar position like Indiana, because Tennessee or Ole Miss or pretty much any SEC team that has two losses right now, you have to be ready for the consequences of that. That's why you need to win all your regular season games. And I'm going to share an opinion that I was wrong about. 10-2 is not a guarantee. Tennessee is likely going to be left out. I used to think 10-2 would be good enough, but there are so many different scenarios that can happen where you're 10-2 and you're on the outside looking in. So I share that because think about if LSU had actually beaten Alabama and LSU had actually beaten Florida, well, we would still be 10-2 and have one of the worst losses of the 10-2 teams. Now, would we likely get the nod over, let's say, an Ole Miss? Yeah, because we beat them. But look, we are at four losses. We probably should have more. The only way you can lock in a playoff slot is if you go 11-1 in the Southeastern Conference or just with an SEC schedule and your other non-conferences. And I wanted to share that because moving forward, LSU historically is not an 11-1 program. Historically, we're not even a 10-2 program. We are more of a 9-3 bowl game gets us to 10 type of program. We average roughly 10 wins per season. But y'all moving forward, 10-2 might not be good enough. And I understand that. I swear by this guy. He's my favorite LSU interview in a long time. But Will Campbell said it best. 10 wins shouldn't be your standard. Okay? So I'm not sitting here saying, hey, why am I talking so much about the playoff? LSU's not in it this year, but I'm saying moving forward, it's a lot harder to get into the 12-team field than I initially thought. Now, it could just be this season. But still. Now, we say hi to Sam. We say hi to Chance. He is correct. LSU's recruiting class is looking pretty good. We'll talk a little bit more about the recruiting class tomorrow. One thing I will say is my favorite player in the class, I've gotten to know him a little bit, is Kyrius Kern, and he is moving up the rankings. All right, so that should make you feel a little bit better about losing Devin Harper. Just a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit. Because Devin Harper is a loss. Anytime you lose a top 100 offensive lineman, it sucks. Offensive linemen are the most valuable high school recruits on average. Am I getting paid by the Big Ten? Yeah, me and Kevin Warren, we're on the same payroll. No. I'm not paid by the Big Ten. I'm not. But I'm sick of all these SEC guys just destroying Indiana. Is their schedule unfreaking believably easier than most of the SEC schedules? Yes. And this is why your boy right here has always banged the table for a 9-game conference schedule. A lot of this would get sorted out a lot easier if we had one more conference game. All right. Now, the next macro topic, and I'll get back into LSU right after this. And I understand I have been tomatoed in the face. But Lane Kiffin very publicly attacked the SEC championship game, which if, as Pierce points out, we would have played in if we had been in Florida and Alabama, but obviously we're not worthy of that. Lane Kiffin said, hey, there's SEC coaches that are talking amongst themselves. They do not want to play in the conference championship game, which serves no purpose. It used to serve a purpose, but it doesn't anymore. I have never understood the point of conference championship games anyway. Really? Well, we got to determine an SEC champion with the East versus the West, and that's how the schedules were. But even then, it didn't really make a lot of sense to me. Y'all, the fix is simple. Remove the conference championship games. Give every single team an extra game on the season. Instead of playing 12, everybody plays 13. Everybody makes more money. Every player gets one extra conference game. Who doesn't want an extra regular season game? But part of the season is so long already. Well, if you're a playoff team, you'd be playing 14, 15, 16 games anyway. Remove the conference championship game, add another regular season game. That way, a lot of these tiebreakers should get sorted out even more. Everybody makes more money. Everybody gets an extra gate. It has never not made more sense to me to do that. And at my core, I am anti that because I hate expansion in almost every walk of life. Expanding something is not good. Okay? It is just not. Not a lot of ways, it's cool. I'm a big believer in some things in life when it comes to expansion. I'm anti-adding games at my core, but it solves a lot of problems. Sam says, I don't think an SEC team will go undefeated for a while. Yeah, I mean, look, if Vanderbilt is a player, it makes life a lot easier it makes life a lot harder for every SEC team. Okay? But there you go. Now, coming up after this, there is one wide receiver who I would like to see get playing time this weekend. And remember, I am anti-expansion. And I have been very, very, very clear about not expanding a wide receiver rotation. But there is one that's not played at all that should get a snap. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Dental health is wealth, and our friends at Sequoia Dental are looking to help you feel like a more confident person. Dr. William Wilson and his team of experts do everything in their power to make this experience for you not only comfortable, but fun. Yes, take a look at this after and before photo. That guy definitely got himself a date thanks to Sequoia Dental. From teeth whitening to cosmetic surgery to, guess what, Botox. Yes, they do Botox. Call my friend Dr. William Wilson today, or just go book your appointment at sequoiadental.com. All righty. If you are in the market for anything home improvement, home is where the heart is. And our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. I would love to see Jelani Watkins get some playing time in this uniform combination. So it is out via Uniswag. LSU, white helmets, gold top, white bottom will be the jersey combination. I heard some extra wristbands, cleats, gold gloves. Type Y for yes, type N for no. If you like the white helmet with the gold top. I do prefer the white gold white. I don't think white gold purple would have looked good. I don't think purple, I don't think yellow helmet or gold helmet would have looked good with gold top. But would that purple kind of shiny helmet look good with the gold top? I don't know. Type Y for yes, type in for no if you like it. Everybody is complaining. But I do want to see Jelani Watkins play. Now, why is that? Well, I don't want to see Chris Hilton play anymore. I mean, we've seen it. All right. It is interesting that for years, and someone made this comment a minute ago, not a minute ago, but under one of my videos, I don't remember who, they said, Carter, the only thing you've ever truly, truly, truly been right about was the Chris Hilton jumping thing. So what happens? Well, Brian Kelly rips Chris Hilton a new one for the jumping thing. And guess what? One of the biggest sports media personalities, John Boy, did a full breakdown of every Chris Hilton jumping rep this season, which, of course, we have covered in every film study that we have done this season. Every single one. And we even, on Patreon right now, patreon.com/LSU football, sign up today, you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. We even talked about it in other breakdowns that we have done. Chris Hilton jumping way too early. The Ole Miss drop last season. Dove for no reason. Versus New Mexico. He had a walk-in touchdown. Hit the ground. It should have been an 80-yard touchdown. He has a drop issue. Leaves his feet. It's crazy. It's the absolute craziest thing I've ever seen. I've never really seen a receiver do it almost every single time he's targeted like him. I have no idea what's going on. I really don't. And the funny thing is, he really didn't have this issue versus Wisconsin. But why not see Jelani Watkins? All right, so he's played two games this season. So now the roster or game limit for Jelani Watkins is off. He can play the final two games, and he could play the bowl game and still have his redshirt year of eligibility. And his skill set is similar to that of Chris Hilton. Now, Chris is a little taller. And I'll tell you this. Did I like Jelani Watkins' film? I was fine on it. I didn't think it was crazy. He didn't have like a ridiculous grade for me. But what I would tell you is a few things. Number one is his practices were a lot better, as in the overall body of work he did behind closed doors. The second thing is a guy like Kyle Parker is out of the picture because of his injury. Shelton Sampson, we're a year and a half into this, he has still not caught a pass. And his skill set's a little bit different than that of Jelani Watkins. We've yet to see him. What do we know about him, though, is, well, his speed is unfreaking believable. It is otherworldly. It would not shock me if he beat Chris Hilton in a foot race. So I would like to see Jelani this weekend, all right? Or at least in one of these last two games. And like I said, it goes against one of my principles. A wide receiver rotation needs to be tight. And everybody who's in it, I need to trust, can catch the football if it hits them in the hands. We had four full targets with Chris Hilton this past weekend. Zero were complete. He was the lowest graded player on PFF. And then the A&M game was a disaster. And then the Alabama game wasn't great. So we have three games. And we're waiting. It's been bad. So let's see somebody else. Let's see it. Okay? Let's see it. There you go, Pierce. I love it. You're going to go down with Zachary. I like it. And look, it's nothing against, nothing personal against Chris. I've met Chris's family. They're great. But, you know, we need to see Jelani get a shot. There was too much smoke this offseason. And I will say, he did train with Jaden some this offseason and spent time around Jaden in his inner circle this offseason. Wink, wink, nod, nod. All right. So take that for what it's worth. Obviously, that guy knows ball. So I think Jelani can play. And once again, I'm not in love. Not in love. My stretch of the imagination. And we've not seen Kylan Billiott either. We have not. Some of you like him more than Jelani Watkins. Some of you like him more than Sheldon Sampson. So in the chat right now, type K for Kylan Billiott. Type J for Jelani Watkins. Who do you want to see more this weekend? Let's see. Don't forget, I have a Washington Commanders live stream coming up at 7. If that interests you, I want to shout out LSU men's basketball for winning last night. Shout out LSU women's basketball. Flajay looks amazing. Shout out LSU baseball. I'm really excited about this upcoming season. Let's see. So, CJ Daniels, 5 catches away from being the first non-Louisiana wide receiver since Terrence Tolliver to have 40 receptions in a season. And obviously, if he doesn't get 5, which he will, he definitely should be around 45 to 50 catches if he was not the most unlucky LSU wide receiver I can remember. I swear, I've never seen anything like it. I used to think it was Brian Thomas Jr. before his breakout season. He had so much unluckiness in terms of penalties and like near catches and us missing him when he's open kinds of things. But nobody has had the luck that CJ Daniels has had. All right. Now, next thing. A lot of you have been asking me about NIL. All right. Let me put together a hypothetical. I don't want to talk about CJ for a good bit here. CJ Daniels is really freaking good. And this happens probably a little bit more frequently than we would like to think, but you can have wide receivers play really, really, really well, and they not have the numbers to really back it up. So I think a good example of this is Ladd McConkey at Georgia. Anyone that actually sat and watched, and obviously NFL teams did, he got drafted really high and he's been really good as a rookie. But everyone that actually watched the games know that there was injuries. He had bad luck with some misses and he was on Georgia. It was loaded. There's a lot of receivers that are like really good, but their situations are not the absolute best. And they're also just unlucky. Right. You know, one receiver I mentioned all the time was Terrence Tolliver, who we just mentioned a few seconds ago, how unlucky he was in terms of his legacy at LSU. You know, his sophomore, junior, and senior seasons coincided with the Jarrett Lee and Jordan Jefferson year after year after year conundrum. So 2018, well, no, 2008, 2009, 2010. So there's so many factors that goes into how we view or think of a wide receiver. That's why I have banged the table for CJ Daniels being pretty good this season. What was the most effective CJ Daniels route at Liberty? Well, it was just a simple go. Now, he's good at everything. He's a good route runner, good blocker, but he's really good at go balls. We cannot throw a go ball to save our life. We can't. Arkansas post route. Should have been a touchdown. Pass interference. Florida. Should have been a touchdown. Penalty. Once again, pass interference, but it was an offensive pass interference. Here's what I'll say, though. He was the number one receiver in the transfer portal. Outside of a few others, right? Like Evan Stewart, sure. Isaiah Bond, sure. But yards per route run wise, he was the best. So he comes over and has had this season. Now, a Liberty coach, Jamie Chadwell, said it costs $300,000 to acquire CJ Daniels. Now, that was according to him. I don't know what the number was. That number, and any NIL number, gets misconstrued. And most people will ask just ChatGPT for it, or most people will go look at the on three, whatever their value is. But has he been worth it? Yeah, to me, he's been worth it. He's given you $300,000 level of play. Now, his numbers might not indicate that, but to me, he's been that good. I will say, though, if you were to come to me, and let's just say LSU sat me down and, yeah, I watched CJ Daniels tape, and I was like, holy crap, he is, like, very good. I know it's a Liberty, but the tape looks really good. I would also tell them, hey, what is our overall salary cap? Like, how much money do we have to go around? If that was the case, I would prefer the $300K to go to a safety or a linebacker. That's if that number is even correct. CJ Daniels might have come here for free, for all I know. Or it could have been $150K, whatever the case may be. So as great as he's been, and as gritty as he's been, playing through a lot of pain, still, I am blown away. When I was told a few weeks ago that he was going to be out for multiple weeks, that he actually did suit up for Alabama, I was shocked. And more so A&M. So he's put a lot on the line for us. We do need to start asking questions. Where are our resources being allocated in terms of our NIL and where we can spend for certain players? And one position that will drastically need help next season is safety. And that is nothing against Jordan Gilbert, who plays hard. But I will tell you this, and a lot of people don't want to go back to their takes before the season began. But there were plenty around the program that believed in Jordan Allen being a game, week one to week 12 safety. And obviously there have been some injuries mixed in there, but the idea that you think that was going to be your starter from year one to from game one to the end of the season was a miscalculation. We've got to spin. And safety is somewhere where you can't get cheap. And you're right, Chance. That's not the point of this, though. It's not the point of me saying, well, like, none of this is our say at all. I mean, we all have different opinions of different positions. And Sam is right. CJ is definitely a pro. He does not have another year. He's going to the next level. And he will get drafted probably a little bit higher than we think. I'm excited, though. Aaron Anderson's probably going to come back. I would love to see him come back. Mason Taylor could come back. I would love to see him come back. So there you go. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. If you super chat, we'll keep it going all night. But yes, CJ Daniels, all three of the road games, he should have had a TD. Arkansas, they interfered with them, and that led to our first TD. Should have had one versus South Carolina. Garrett Nussmeier missed him, and it was a walk-in touchdown. And then the Florida game. And then arguably UCLA should have been a TD. And South Carolina. I'm telling you, it's almost every single game, there's something like unfreaking believably unlucky. And I'm sure he was frustrated when he saw Chris Hilton see the ball hit his hands. And, well, you guys saw what happened there. I'm shocked. 51% of you, even despite my plea that they were going to get better versus Vanderbilt, 51% of you said no, it's not going to get better. Tomorrow will be a lot more Vanderbilt focused. Our live stream tomorrow, I'm trying to decide because I do have a college basketball game that I have to call tomorrow. Would you guys prefer the live stream tomorrow to be at 4 p.m. or would you prefer it to be later and it have to be like 8? Would you prefer us to go live tomorrow at 4 or at 8? Basically, that would be the two options. It would be at 8:15. Let me know which one you prefer. I'm going to let you, the PHL viewer, determine my future. Akon and Young Jeezy. Oh. Oh. All right. This is probably the most painful thing I've ever seen in my life. Okay. This is about to make me freaking cry. We're 2 weeks into the damn season. Two damn weeks into the season. This is the... I mean, what is this? How did we get to... Ifrid Payton was just signed today. Today. They didn't even have him in a Pelicans uniform. That's a damn G League uniform. What is this? What is this? What? Like, what is this? What is this? Nobody should be charged admission. I saw this earlier today. The seven highest paid players on this team are not healthy. What is this? How can you start Alfred Payton, Brandon Boston, Javonte Green, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, and Miss? How? I mean, look at this. It's a Tommy Davidson meme. Oh, man. What is this? Oh, man. How can you charge admission? Oh, my God. Let's go to Sam. Do we need a power running back? Durham, Barry, or Small? Well, you do have JT Lindsey coming in this next crop. And Sam. I wouldn't turn the page totally on Caleb Jackson just yet. That seems to be the single most popular player that everyone is predicting to go to the portal. I'm not ready to get there quite yet. I'm not. Okay. I understand it's been, compared to expectations, an absolute disastrous season for Caleb. I get it. And Sam, you've been watching me for a while. You guys know how I like my running backs. I need thunder thighs. I need thickness. Okay. It's hard for me to be fully on board any running back unless they're thick. But Caden Durham, I made an exception. He was my number one player in this class. But, or in this last class. That's part of the reason why, like, I don't have, like I'm not, like, unfreaking believably slam dunk Harlan Berry, but I do think he's special with the football in his hands. Like, he's, that's why I'm like, maybe he is a slot wide receiver. But they do have JT Lindsey in, and JT Lindsey is unfreaking believably dominant at the high school level. Like, at Alexandria, he is unreal. So, you know, I was a James Simon believer, but he decided to go elsewhere. He's a thicker running back. And then I haven't kept up with the Ford kid, who out of Opelousas, where is he committed to? Now that you mention this, let's take a look at this before we skedaddle. Once again, we'll take a few more. I do have my Washington Commander show. I got to go do LSU 2025 commits. What was the kid's name out of Deshaun Ford. So his prediction machine has him at 31% LSU. I like Deshaun Ford. I just like players from Opelousas. If you're from Opelousas, you're built different. You grew up on Mama's Fried Chicken. You grew up on Billy's Boudin. So if you're from Opelousas, that's why this kid out of Ole Miss that's committed to Opelousas is, what's his name? Corey Amos. He's small, but he's going to be good. He's from Opelousas. It's just how it is. I mean, there's a song about this. You down with OPP? You know, you don't mess with Opelousas. They're built different. Thank you, Sam. I like my running back how I like my women. Thank you. So my wife is skinny, but she's not like rail thin. But she's pretty skinny. And I like thick too. I'm a happily married man, but I don't mind thickness. Like, when in life, okay, and this is just a question. When in life is thick bad? I'm serious. Like, I'm thinking about it. Thicker in almost every way is better, except the human physique. Everyone's trying to be skinny. Why? Why? Even those who identify as thick and flaunt their thickness, they get skinny, or they try and get skinny when they get rich. But everything else in life is better if it's thick, outside of, I like my pastrami shaved thin. But outside of that, everything is better if it's thick. The thicker, the better. Thicker than a Snicker. Thicker than cold peanut butter. Thick as that 90 weight gravy. He went to Texas, James Simon. But I like thick. Okay. Thick ankles aren't too great. Well, like I said, outside of the human physique. But I argue to the contrary. Don't get on my kinks. I got some kinks. I don't have like elephantitis, but I mean, my ankles are thick. But don't get on the kinks. Kink army, stand up. Y'all hate too much on kinks. But outside of the human physique, answer this question. What in life is worse everything in life is better if it's thick. Everything. There are no exceptions. I'm sorry. None. Zero, zip, zilch, nada. Everything is better if it's thick. Every last thing. Toothpaste, thick. I like my toothpaste thick. My tires, I like thick tires. Don't hate on my tires. I like good, thick tires. Literally, Pegasus says, I don't want kinkles. Outside of the human physique. Y'all are not listening. Outside of the human physique, name something that is better when it's thin compared to thicker. And even then, the human physique thing. Some people like thick women and men. Like, literally, every girl I've dated, they obviously prefer thick men, because I'm not skinny. I'm also not fat. None of y'all could, y'all are some of the brightest minds on the internet. Thin cut catfish. Come on. No. No. Oh, LA mom, you're better than this. Thin crust pizza. No. Mm-mm. Once you have that Giordano Chicago deep dish or Rotolo's, the Big Apple, that pizza is better than any thin crust. Pierce, please, please go, please go. This is, we need Jared Addison in here right now. This dad. Yes, 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 yes. Thin crust versus stuffed crust feels like a toss-up for me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thin crust versus stuffed crust feels like a toss-up for me. It didn't. Yeah, I got choppy because I was clapping. Or did it get choppy? Type Y for yes, type in for no if you can hear me. Wonder how BK likes his ice. Oh, yeah. Okay, so ice. Yeah, well, the smaller Sonic ice is better than thicker cubes. So literally, y'all think long and hard. And for tomorrow night's live stream, which we will do at 8, and I am doing a basketball game tomorrow night, college basketball. You guys should tune in. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Big shout out. We have one super chatter tonight, Mr. Sam Lowe. I appreciate it. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Big shout out to you, Will Campbell. You always got a fan in me, brother. You and Emory Jones. And tonight, we are doing, I don't know, like literally, I don't know. So, normally we plan out what we're going to have. Haley doesn't eat dinner. Seriously, she doesn't eat dinner. So normally, like I have like something planned out for like what I want or what's easy for her to cook or whatever. I have no idea. But if you want to continue our live streams, I am starting one up on the Power Hour NFL channel. So we'll see you over there. Okay. Let's go.